Rachel, after 9/11 in this country, really, became very curious about why that had happened here. And she was a college student at the time, and that led her to the issue of Israel and Palestine as being a core problem and a core reason for why we had suffered the attack we did here. She spent a lot of time studying with her classmates and also with people. She became connected in our community of Olympia, Washington, with people who had direct connections to Israel and Palestine. And she really began her own personal inquiry about the whole thing. And in 2002, as a student, some of her friends traveled to the Middle East with something called the International Solidarity Movement. It was a movement of internationals and Israelis and Palestinians. It was a Palestinian-led movement. Started when there was a resolution in the United Nations to bring a human rights monitoring force to the region. And that resolution, introduced by the High Commissioner of Human Rights, Mary Robinson, was vetoed by Israel and by the United States. And at that point, the organization ISM was founded. Some of Rachel's friends went. She followed their work. And then after they'd come back, she learned that Gaza was a place where maybe the need was greatest. And she did a lot of preparation. She studied Arabic. She made her plans and so forth and learned as much as she could. Also brought her parents into the picture, you know, trying to share with us what she intended and was thinking about doing. And then in January of 2003, she traveled to the West Bank for training with ISM, and then directly to Gaza to support Palestinians who at that time were in Rafah, in the southern part of Gaza particularly, were under great threat. There were massive home demolitions happening at the time. It was during the Second Intifada. It was a very difficult time for all people in the region at that point. But there were these massive clearing demolitions happening. So part of what she was doing was to work with other international activists to try to be there in solidarity with the Palestinians whose homes were threatened because of their location on the border with Egypt, not with Israel, but on the border with Egypt, where a wall was being built and land was being cleared. And that was a piece of their work. It was also to work with women and children and to build connections with our community, but that was an important piece.
And then in March of 2003, Rachel was guarding a home that was about to be demolished. I believe it was of a doctor in his family. Is that true? And this is foreshadowing a little bit of what we're going to talk about later, but there was a caterpillar also involved that day. What's the story of the day that she was killed?
Well, she was. It was the home of two Palestinians. So one was a pharmacist, but they do a lot of doctoring there, and one was an accountant. So just middle-class folks. So two families living in upstairs, downstairs house and duplex, and they had five children at the time, and the four adults and five children were behind the wall that Rachel was in front of. And she actually knew these people. She slept in the floor actually with the children in the parents' bedroom, because as the Israeli military would drive in front of their house, and this had been a neighborhood they built in the center of town, but all the houses between them and the border had previously been destroyed. So they drive through there and they shoot. Cindy and I were in that house. It was still standing when we went to Gaza in the fall of 2009 in September, in fall of 2003. And you could see the bullet holes coming through the children's bedroom wall inside the bedroom. And this is concrete walls. It goes through the concrete wall between the bedroom and the living room, but they didn't get through this third concrete wall. So the whole family slept in this back bedroom. And Rachel talked about that and wrote about it and talked about waking up in a big puddle of blankets with the children on the floor. So she knew these children. She knew they were behind the wall. And this bulldozers that had been sort of mucking around in the area all day and coming right up to the protesters who would stand the ground and try not to let them destroy structures. Well, one of them headed straight towards this house, and like they'd been doing earlier in the day, and the bulldozers would come right up next to him, because it sounds a little bit difficult to stand in front of bulldozers, but they would. They'd come right up next to him and then stop. Now, one person was rolled over into some concertina wire, and Alice was pushed once up against a house, but when people yelled, the bulldozer stopped. But in Rachel's case, as it came toward the house where she knew the children involved, it didn't stop this time, and it just drove over her, crushing her, and then pulled back. Her friends, the eyewitnesses, said it did not lift its blade when it came back, and she was actually still alive when her friends got to her. She said her last words were, "I think my back is broken," and she died in Alice's arms there.
And that was a Caterpillar machine.
It was a Caterpillar D9 bulldozer. We're not talking about small cats here. We're talking about a 60, when it's armored, and they're armored, so you can't shoot into them or whatever. It's 65 tons once it's fully armored. They're huge, about 2.5-story high, mammoth machines, and they're used in, you know, you don't need that sort of armor if you're going to use this bulldozer in your own neighborhood. They're used to destroy houses, to make way for tanks to go in. They're actually stronger than the tanks and more armored than the tanks and armored personnel carrier, and they're incredibly destructive.